This week on RSPB Update, it's Slayer and Combat Week, and this spurs discussion on live games and the Summer Escape. You won't want to miss that. Also, questions on everything ranging from expanding existing content, new areas, the Master Quest Cape, and live streams. Plus, tech news that'll scare you. This is RSPB Update, episode 737, recorded Thursday, August 15th, 2019. Questioning everything. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSPB Update. Just myself, Shane, and Tanis here with you guys this week. We finally got that quiet week, didn't we?
We did. And did you just refer to yourself in the third person?
I think I did.
You did. You know there's only one person that can do that, right?
Who's that?
That's The Rock.
Oh. Isn't he retired?
He is, but I mean,
you know, he was in an episode of Star Trek Voyager once.
Really?
Yeah, he was. There was this I realize this is probably one of the earliest Star Trek references ever, but the Delta Flyer was on an away mission on, which is a Voyager series, and they got abducted and they were forced to fight in what was this, what could only be described as alien wrestling. And one of the ones that Seven of Nine had to come up against was played by The Rock.
That's cool.
And they broadcast the fight sector-wide, and the crew was enjoying one of these fights, and then they realized that there was something wrong when they saw one of their own crew members fighting.
Oh, so, I see.
Yeah, I think that was Voyager Season 5 or something to that effect, if anyone's interested. But no, this is not a Star Trek podcast if you have tuned in and you're expecting something else. This is indeed RSPB Update, where we discuss, of course, the latest RuneScape news and your questions, which, you know, we used to do a lot of, and we are very pleased that we've seen an uptick recently in the amount of questions sent in. So thank you for that, everybody who's sending questions in. So
loving them. Loving these questions, man.
Yeah, they're really nice. So we're going to start off this week with the Summer Escape and the Combat Week. And, you know, this is something that we talked about last week as being kind of foreshadowing where the game is going for the month of August, specifically for the summertime season, which I think is fine. And, you know, with this, last week we had the general skilling weekend where you know, we saw things like Fletching XP boosted all the way up to 25% plus, which was absolutely immaculate in that regard. Next week is Dungeoneering and Elite Dungeons, but this week is all Combat and Slayer based. And I talked to David, you recall last week he was on the show, and he said, yeah, you know, I wasn't even considering doing Slayer, but this week I'm doing Slayer 100% of the time I'm online. Because with this, amongst other things, this week you have access to 10% increased catch chance with your Ushabti if you're working on your Slayer Codex, which is the reason he's doing it. There's also an increased chance of rare drops and enhanced lucky items. All charm drops will give an extra charm than normal. Shattered Worlds grants 100% extra anima, which, you know, we definitely should be focusing on given the fact that you'll be needing some anima when the sigil rework comes online that we talked about last week. And I think we should just kind of circle back on this and say that the only criticism we did have of this last week from the implementation side has been fixed. And it was relayed in a tweet this week that the global cooldown indicator on the action bar won't show. So you'll be able to activate sigils instantly as if they were spells. So this effectively fixes all the implementation concerns that we had on that, and of course we're still waiting to see when this update will hit and what the anima and various refunded amounts will be, but we want that to be finalized before we bring that to you guys, because, I mean, we can talk about it, but it doesn't really make much sense to wax or wane over it until we have final numbers on it, so that's why we're not bringing that forward this week, even though there were some preliminary numbers brought forward. Anyways, that's a slight digression down the rabbit hole. You'll also be able to loot from the Mazcab raids once per day. you have a 25% increased drop rate chance on torn grimoire pages from Solak if you go kill that giant tree. All Slayer assignments will be treated as if they're using a VIP ticket. 25% extra Slayer XP across the board. A choice of boss Slayer assignments, and of course the boost to the Slayer Codex that we mentioned as well. And with this, there's all the weekend bonuses as well, focusing on, you know, clue scrolls, double Slayer points, double Thaler, double Menaphos rep. So, I mean, it's a good time to be playing RuneScape, and I think we touched on this last week, and we discovered that, you know, this is making people come back and play who wouldn't have been playing as much as they have been. So, all in all, that's a good thing, and it, of course, harkens back to the focus on live games and living games, which is very clearly annotated on the Jagex website, which is what they're all about at this point in time, and needs to be happening for mobile going forward, because, you know, that's what makes mobile games successful. Little time-limited events that make people keep logging in. And people think they're being milked for it or they're being forced to grind. Well, it's all in the implementation, I think. And I think this one hits the sweet spot, doesn't it?
You know, I think so, because I've been a person for a long time now that I try to not be governed by like what the best, like I'm not necessarily going to do a daily challenge every day. Even though if I'm in a competition or if I'm trying to be efficient, I would. I try to not, you know, I try to do what I'm going to do regardless, right? But this has actually been one of the first time where that's I've been persuaded to go and do this content, and instead of what I was planning to do anyway, and I didn't feel forced, and I didn't feel like I'm grinding. I felt like this is the absolute best time to do it, so might as well go and do it. I mean, we all know what Shattered Dreams, I mean, Shattered Worlds was like. And, sorry, Freudian slip there. But, you know, I never did get my bladed dive or my salt the wound or any of that. And I've been there all week this week working on that stuff. And
it's really not that bad. Yeah. I mean, I went there a bit to gather some video on it. And, you know, I'm the kind of person where I set myself up to do something. And if I'm not successful in a certain amount of time, it just makes me more determined to do it. And that's what's been happening with Big Game Hunter. I've, you know, killed upwards of 50 of the things, only got one totem, which is within the realm of the expected values that were detailed to us, but it's not the totem piece that I wanted. So I'm doing Big Game Hunter until I get both totem pieces from it, and then after I'll move on to other things. So that's what my current focus is right now. But I mean, I would have definitely done Shattered Worlds this week. That's something I don't think I would have said ever.
Yeah, I didn't think I would be down there doing it either, just because, I mean, for one, I haven't made it to, like, the highest of the levels. Like, I don't think I've made it, like, the
I'm high 40s. How much I ignored that character when it came out.
Well, I'm stuck on this, like, 76 to 80 band, and I made it further than that, but I don't know what I have to do to unlock the next, like, tier, but anyway, I haven't made it that far. But even last week, I was, you know, doing more skilling than I would have been doing previously.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they've actually hit the nail on the head with this one, I think.
And
kind of,
you know,
like persuading you, but making you not feel like you don't feel like you're losing out if you
exactly.
don't go into it.
And see, that's the difference with the currency event. Because with the currency event, you do feel like you're losing out if you don't do it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't pass up that kind
of
XP.
And recall, you remember when we were getting those currency events every other week, we said these need to be made shorter.
Yeah.
And they did. And I think that helped with that. But the point is that this is desktop RuneScape that we're talking about right now. Imagine if RS3 Mobile was released to the masses and we had this summer event going on. How many extra people would be playing?
Yeah, probably quite a few. I mean, I'm still kind of stunned when I go to various places and look at people's posts, and I see posts from, I'm a new player looking for advice on, you know, X, Y, etc. And I'm like, really? There are new players? Because in my mind, there are new players, right? There's new accounts. There aren't any new players. But I'll be damned. There are new players. So I'm guessing when mobile comes in, it's probably going to be a bunch more. And I was really skeptical of that. Like, I just didn't think it would still, people were still coming in the game like that.
Yeah, and surprising, isn't it? It's amazing what an app store can do. More so for games, but just in general. So, there was actually a really good video that was put out this week by Google, believe it or not. Google puts out these videos, and what they do is they talk about success stories on the Android App Store and how they use all the tools of the Play console and whatnot to, you know, shape how their app development is going. And Jagex was one of the featured companies with old school RuneScape on there. And Mod Pips and a couple of other devs were on there chatting about it, some player testimonials as well. And, you know, I think people have really underestimated what mobile's going to do when it arrives. People think it's going to be for, hey, let's just go play some RS on the couch. But people always have their phones with them. And it's the bullet point that needs to be hit, and, you know, it needs to be successful. And, you know, I think they're going to do that. And the point, the reason we're talking about this now is because there's players out there, and probably in the more cynical bunch, who feel that, you know, these community events like the Summer Escape are a cop-out. But the answer is that no. The Summer Escape is exactly the kind of content that you do if you have a mobile game. Granted, yes, you have other releases, and you don't make this a monthly occurrence. You do it around specific times, like the summer, the winter, and, I don't know, maybe spring break or something to that effect, to get people to log in. And it's one thing with the RuneScape desktop, but if you paired this with a mobile game, you would see engagement numbers take off. You would see sales go up for both subscriptions and, of course, I'm going to say microtransactions as well. But amongst all this, you would also see increased engagement on the app stores and the game climbing the charts, and that just brings more people in itself. So this is why this Summer Escape is being done from a marketing perspective. It's because this is going to be the kind of event we're going to see in the future once mobile is launched. And if the diehard RS players who are already playing on PC enjoy such an event, it's only going to make it more successful when mobile arrives, and it's going to allow them to iron out the kinks and make it even better next time. And that's the whole point of the Summer Escape.
Yeah, and, you know, as for, like, having a lull or people feeling like there was a lull in content, there usually is in August.
That happens before RuneFest every year.
Every year. And because July, we always get usually a summer update is usually in July or June or July, somewhere around there. But August is always kind of slow. And
September, we normally get an update. Mm-hmm. Medium-sized, like the farm.
Yeah. Most of the time coincides with a double XP weekend or something like that. I don't really have any complaints. I've definitely changed my mind. At first I thought this was, you know, kind of appease people, you know, like, well, we're doing something, but, I actually think your argument makes a lot of sense. And
well, I thought the same way too. And then I was chatting, like I said, last week with Sirion about this, and he said, no, it's all about live gaming.
Well, and I never thought about, you know, as much as we talk about mobile, I always forget about mobile. I guess it's because we don't have it for iOS yet, you know? So I'm always like kind of forgetting about mobile when it comes to things like this. So yeah, I guess that it does make sense.
Yeah. Also this week, I don't want to take away from it. There is some rather good looking players gallery competitions for the Land Out of Time. So have a look at these in the nodes. One really, really damn good painting of, I don't know which dinosaur it is, but it's there. It's what you'd imagine concept art for RS would look like. Others involve some stitching for RuneScape, and then finally another painting of one of the big game hunter dinosaur events. So I think we can move on to the patch notes right now, which was also substantial this week. We're not going to go through all these, and I think what we're going to do in the future on these is we're going to, in addition to the producers, we're going to ask you guys, the listeners, which patch notes you'd like us to talk about, because there's just so many of them.
Well, it's third week in a row that it's been 100, right? That's
yeah.
And then what Machani tweeted.
Yeah. So we're gonna do that for next week as well. So starting off, only a few changes to Anachronia this week because, you know, that's most of the bugs have been fixed with that and the balancing issues have been fixed. So they added Anachronia quick chat options, including I have completed laps on the Anachronia agility course and my fastest lap was time. I have num base camp resources, the number, of course, changing, as is the type of resource as well. I built tier of base camp building. I have number of hunter tokens, and I have successfully tracked and hunted number of big game dinosaurs. I like that last one. It's a good way of keeping track of how many you've actually killed. So that's an important one that I've been having a look at this week. Moving on to the combat fixes. Devil Snare's special attack will no longer continue after the NPC has died. Yeah, yeah, this is good.
That's good.
Yeah, this almost killed me there a few weeks ago.
Oh. Ouch.
Yeah. Because, of course, the special attack for that is that you need to deal lots of damage to it to stop, and if it's dead, you can't really deal damage to it to stop it.
You just gotta run.
Yeah, yeah. Armor spikes will no longer damage targets that cannot be attacked by normal means. I think I've reported this one in the... or something similar to this in the beta.
I saw a picture of this. Someone within Kyrodiil's dungeon, and
yeah, you remember that, don't you?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
that is something that should have been fixed a while ago. But I mean, it's minor because you're not going to necessarily kill something outright with Kyrodiil's dungeon. And I mean, hey, it's Kyrodiil's dungeon, so there's not too much that's interesting in there. Finishing a co-op. Or fixed an issue when completing a co-op Slayer task could show your Slayer task streak as a negative number. That's good. At least it was only a visual cue on that. The Mandrith co-op Slayer task will now award 8 co-op points when completed, which is what they're expected to do. And Tuska's Wrath now works with the elves in God Wars Dungeon 2 while on task. That's interesting that was missing, wasn't it?
That's really weird that wasn't working. So I guess that's when you're going down there and trying to get your
kill count.
What, kill count for Saren? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, unless you got an Elf Slayer task, I mean, I guess you could go down there and do it, perhaps.
Yeah, I guess that would.
Is that
I
where
mean,
people do it, or do they
sense.
Do it in Prif? I've never done it.
I've always done Prif. I've never thought of going down to God Wars 2. That would make sense, though. You kind of killed two birds with one stone that way.
Yeah.
Oh no, I've got my wrap feet on our ass now. My bad.
What was that?
I said we're going to have PETA on our ass now.
No.
Killing two birds with one stone, man.
I mean, at least.
Yeah, that's good because Tuska only works when you're on a Slayer task anyway. Like, that's only when you.
Otherwise,
when you
it's just
hit.
A rather crappy basic.
Yeah.
All right. Fixed an issue where Slayer kill count was decreasing twice if a target was killed by another player. Or a tag target, rather. So if you tagged something and your friend killed it, that your task count would go down twice. Yeah, this is a bug, but I can imagine some people liking this. To get through tasks quicker.
Yeah, I mean, if you're point farming...
Yeah,
like I said, it would be
obviously if you want
advantage.
XP, then that's not a that
then
that's
then
not
that's,
fun.
Yeah,
thing, but I wonder how long this has been in game. You know, that's one thing I always wonder with these patch notes: is how long have these been bugs in game? Have they been bugs for, you know, like a couple weeks, Or have they been more longer term than that? I think that'd be an interesting thing to see on these patch notes here. You know, when was this bug first filed? When was it first spotted? When was it fixed, kind of thing? Granted, it would be hard to put all that in, but for these ones where we don't have a time window, that would make sense. And same goes with the armor spikes one, because I am certain I reported that in the beta, and I'm certain it was fixed. So if it came back in a different form, then that's a different bug entirely. But it could just be the same one from before in a different form. So that's why I think with some of these patch notes, it would be good to just have a perspective of when the bug was filed and how long it's been in game, if it was known.
Well, it might have been slightly different, because yours wasn't when you were off. You know how when you're off task, you can't attack anything in that,
right,
in that place? That's where I was seeing. That's what the picture was.
That's what mine was. Yeah.
Okay, where the armor spikes were going off when they were attacking you, but you couldn't.
Yeah.
Hurt. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's same one then. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was in Curadel's dungeon. Yeah. So it'd be interesting to know that.
I think that would be interesting for us, but I
don't think the normal player base would care.
See, I think that it might peel back the curtain a little too much. And on the sausage making, and be like, well, it took you 3 months to fix this bug. You know what? I'm like, I don't know why. I don't know what your schedule is. I'm not going to criticize on
Very
that
good
one.
Point.
But I
Very
could
good
see
point.
Some people would,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. The Elven Ritual Shard will now be dropped rather than destroyed if killed when sculled in the wilderness. Of course, this is the thing that comes from Lost Grove creatures that allows you to recharge prayers.
Okay.
So another reason for people to go out and PK in the wilderness, I guess. If anyone does that aside from farming energy at the crater. I don't think so. People have had different experiences, but ever since that wilderness farming patch came out, I've seen literally 3 people there. And only one has tried to kill me.
One of them got me.
Because Warbands was going on.
I think I was just at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, probably. I mean, probably. Yeah. A safe spot while fighting moss golems has been removed in the Lost Grove. Iron Men can now complete Slayer tasks within the Dragonkin Laboratory, which is excellent because we know how good Slayer XP that is if you got dragons or strike worms or something to that effect. Gorvek's Spine Tack will now only hit the main target and players in close proximity to that target. Okay, that's good. Tuska's Wrath now also works correctly with Lava Strike Worms and Dragons while on task inside Elite Dungeon 2.
Oh, so that... Yeah, had some problems then, huh?
Yeah. Poison damage also no longer reduces your invention charge kit, which makes sense because whenever you're dealing damage, it's effectively coming off your character, and the simple thing to do would just be say, hey, whenever this person does damage, reduce the charge by X amount, but obviously you don't want to do that with poison because poison is separate from your weapon. So that's nice that that's been fixed. And, you know, it would have taken someone to realize that there was extra charge coming off because it is really hard to see with every hit when charge comes off your charge pack. So
I didn't even know you could see that. I've never seen it, obviously.
Oh, yeah, you can see how long you have left in terms of charge when you check all your invention items, and it shows what your charge pack has left and how long it's estimated for just one weapon or everything that you're wearing for it to run down.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Moving on to other fixes right now. Players who already have a cat training medal from Gertrude can now complete the achievement by talking to Gertrude, and there's an achievement for one of the Varrock tasks that says that, you know, you need to get a cat training medal to complete it, and if you had already got the medal previously, you can now just talk to her and you don't need to do it again. That's the way task sets should be. You can now choose a skill cape emote when correctly wearing a completionist cape. I guess you wouldn't be able to choose your emote beforehand on that, so that's good. Receiving a Nihil damage enhancer from the Motherlode Maw will no longer refer to it as an unused enhancer. The enhancer's interface has been cleaned up. Ports enhancers now have options to use 5, 10, and all on the enhancer's toggle menu. I don't think there's much to write home about on these ones, so I'm just continuing on with them.
Yeah.
An issue has been fixed where players could cause a movement stall by alternating digging with a spade and reading a book.
I just wonder how some of them get found. That's, you know.
Yeah, and this one seems like a fairly low-level one as well, so... Oh, that one was amusing to see. All elegant shirts, blouses, legs, and skirts can now be added to your player-owned house, of course. Clue scroll items there. Untradeable items will now show their item value when inside the loot interface. Good. I mean, you want to know how much it's worth even if you can't trade it. A quick chat option stating how many players in your friends chat or on your world now correctly references this. I had no idea this even existed.
No, I didn't either.
I guess this would be usable if you're planning events or something to that effect. So,
yeah.
Anyways. Quest-wise, Titans and Familiars can no longer damage the tentacles of Zograth in Pieces of Hate, which is, last year's Pirate Finale quest. That was a good quest.
It was.
Free-to-play players can no longer access the Elemental Workshop 2 Accept interface via the bookcase. That's good. That's good, because that is a member's quest. I don't even know how they get to that bookcase. Because it's in Camelot, isn't it? Sears Village.
Sears. Yeah, it is in Sears.
Yeah. Skilling-wise, this one is probably the patch note of the week. Added skill level to Dungeoneering skill door examine messages.
Yay!
So you don't need to necessarily hurt yourself trying to open a door that you can't open.
Yep.
If you currently have 5 box traps laid and your hunter falls below level 80, the traps will no longer disappear if you try and repair one.
Okay.
I have no idea, but okay.
Like, repairing one? I don't even know. I mean, I knew they, like, fall over or something, or they don't.
Right, but I mean, if your hunter level went below 80, you would just lose the trap entirely.
Why would your hunter level go below 80, though? Like,
because there's no real hunter creatures that can debuff you, are there? I don't think so.
Not that I know of, no. I can't think of any.
Unless,
and there's no reason you would use a potion or something.
Unless you were at, 75 and you were using a potion to put yourself up beyond 80 to use that 5th trap. There you go. That's when this happens.
There you go. Yep.
Yeah.
Figured it out.
Extreme hunter potions.
Yep.
Inspecting your herb patch will now correctly state when it's being protected by the Green Fingers aura or the herb protector. Yeah, previously it was one catch-all, and that was slightly confusing, so I'm glad that's been fixed.
Yeah, cool.
Alrighty, well, that's it for the patch notes this week. We're going to move on to our listener questions in just a bit, but a very slim RS week, but we do have lots of your listener questions to get through. And, before we do that, I'll just take a moment to talk about our Patreon page, which you can find at patreon.com/rsbnb. And there, I'd like to extend our sincerest gratitude and thanks to our Patreon supporters for this week's episode. You guys, of course, all of you do truly make what we do here possible. So this week, I'd like to thank Arvids L, Brock H, Cass, Darren L, Diana, Kyle, Logan H, Rippeth, Tom V, and Zez. Thank you all of you for your wonderful support of RSBNB Update. It truly, truly does mean the world to us. And in case you're wondering what this is all about, just head on over to patreon.com/rsbnb, and there you can learn about all the various tiers and options to support the podcast. And, you get the most value out of just supporting for as little as $1 a month. You get, as mentioned on the show notes, early access to the show notes. You can join our roundtable, which is happening this Saturday. You can also vote on topics for the monthly bit, which the poll for that is actually up right now. So if you want to vote on the poll for the August monthly bit and you're not already a Patreon subscriber, there's your reason. For $1 a month, you can go in, you can vote, and then after it's released, you'll gain access to that one and the entire back catalog going back for 13 months right now. And the choices this month are How Old School Came to Be and What It Means for RS in General, Iron Man, why do people play them, and their devaluation over the years, and RS3 settings analysis, all features revealed in the in-game settings. So this is the poll that's currently going. It runs till Tuesday, so you have a little bit of time to sign up if you want to vote for this. And of course, with this, you also help fund the costs of hosting and production of RSBNB Update. We also have a $3 tier where you get a special VIP rank on Discord. I mentioned on the podcast at the start of the month, and access to high-quality stereo AAC versions of the show. And for $5 a month, if you want to give the ultimate gift, you gain access to the outtakes and clips that we use to make the clip show at the end of the year, in addition to everything else. And as I mentioned, yeah, we got our monthly bit. That poll is up right now. That's where we discuss one key issue, kind of in a, I guess we could say, more thoughtful way than we can do on the podcast, because we dedicate a whole hour to what is effectively one big question, and we talk about it. We have Inside RSBNB Update, where we have interviews with our hosts and production team. You can learn how the podcast comes together with that. Lots of back episodes on that. And the roundtable, which is happening this Saturday in the RSBNB Discord. Of course, for anybody who wants to join that, you can find out how to do that on our Patreon page. And should we reach the ultimate tier of $99 a month, that'll be movie night in the RSBNB Discord. So all of that and more at patreon.com/RSBNB. Thank you once again, everyone. Support truly means the world to us.
Thanks, guys.
All right, so our first one this week is an audio question from Parnassius. Let's have a listen.
G'day guys, it's Parnassius here with a quick question for you this week. As the embarrassed owner of a Complaintion Escape, one of the few things I do like is that the teleports are now locked to the character and not to the cape. However, as a proud owner of the Master Quest cape, I again feel a little let down that Jagex have only looked at the combatant side of things and not at the more prestigious and harder to unlock capes like the Master Quest cape. Do you think the mod should give this cape the same love and put the teleports unlocked with it into the teleport tab as well? I know not as many people own this cape, and its teleports aren't as useful for PVMers, but it is an awesome one for clue scroll hunters and skillers. Should we get equal treatment by the company, or just remain the second class of players, only here to make up the numbers for the PVMers and remain silent, thankful that they throw us any scraps that they do when they do? I do say this tongue-in-cheek, but it does sometimes feel whenever the PVMers say jump, Jagex asks how high, while the rest of the community just has to sit back and be happy when we get something useful to us. Love to hear your thoughts on this, and as always, happy scaping.
One, two, three. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. The teleport should be moved.
Yep. That says it all, really. I mean, yeah, 100%.
Because those teleports are the ancient Guthix Temple, behind the scenes, the Champions Guild, the Empty Throne Room, the Glacier Cave, Fountain of Heroes, Legends Guild, Tears of Guthix, Varrock Museum, and World Gate. So many iconic spots on that one. I don't know why it wouldn't have been put on that cape.
Yeah, I mean, I think it should, just for convenience and consistency's sake. I would almost venture to think, I mean, I would think it was some kind of an oversight, or it was something that would have taken longer and they wanted to release it at a certain time.
Yeah.
And they couldn't, you know, release it and do all that stuff. That's my guess, but it absolutely should be in the spellbook.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it was a bit shocking to see why it wouldn't have been, because, you know, when you think about it, this entire comp cape rework project was reworking the end game capes, and the quest master quest point cape is one of those end game capes, so it definitely should have been there. And you know, this is something we were thinking of when the patch note came in, where the legends cape allowed you to have its teleport changed, and subsequently the previous week, where the legends teleport on this master quest cape honors your decision of where it should be placed as well. And I was gonna make a nibble out of that actually a couple weeks back, but I didn't, because after the show I learned, okay, yes, it is on the Master Quest cape, so that must be it. And then upon further reflection, it turns out that the Master Quest cape's teleports are not on the teleport lists. So I think this is a just in general a good point to be made that, yeah, we should definitely put these teleports on the teleport list. So because, I mean, it's a master skill cape, the master quest cape. And the whole point of the comp cape rework, in addition to providing players the choice of capes to be worn so that you didn't always have to have your comp cape on, was to free up that cape slot. But if you want to use these teleports and you want to go clue hunting, this doesn't free up that cape slot. So I think in the spirit of the comp cape rework, this should definitely be done. That's the reason for it beyond just yes. So I don't think I have anything else left to say on that. And this goes into what I was talking about last week, because, you know, when you advocate for a position, you need to do it in a way that is thoughtful, not condescending. And with that, you need to get your point across clearly. And that's what I think we're able to do here on this podcast. So I'm glad this question was sent in.
Yeah, the only thing I have to add to that is, you know, I had a good friend that was trim comp, and he had Master Quest Cape, and he said Master Quest Cape was much more difficult for him to attain. And so, I mean, so it's a prestigious cape, and it takes a lot of hard work to get it. So I think it should receive the same, you know, the same treatment.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Thank you, Parnassius. Next one is from Sunset Fish. What existing content would you like to see expanded upon? For me, I would like to see an auction house morphed with the Grand Exchange. Bidding on items I would find addicting. Have more than one item, bundle them together, and have players bid on that. Selling 1,000 monkfish, the bid starting bid is 80K. And, you know, this is something that's always been abstracted away from the Grand Exchanges. You can never see what's truly going on behind the scenes because, you know, that is their way of preventing market manipulation. But I don't see that there would be an issue bringing in something like an auction house.
No, I think that would be awesome. It'd be fun. Other games do it. And
it would bring back player engagement to trading.
Well, yeah.
And we could trade all our farm animals at the auction house rather than World 2 POF.
Well, and you're not – it's obviously not being that effective at preventing market manipulation when you have entire clans of merchants out there. Like mm-hmm. That has a lot mm-hmm. of power. You know, I've been told once you have a bill, this game throws money at you once you have that much, because you can flip something literally in hours and make 20, 30, 40 mil off of it. But you got to have that money to begin with. So it's like, I don't know. I would love to do an auction. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. What about our content now?
This was not promised. This was something that was talked about. But remember way back when, before Shattered Worlds had ever even was in the game, they had talked about maybe having a cooperative mode with that, where you could go and rush these levels with a friend. Since I've been there this week, I thought, man, this would be more fun if I was doing it with a buddy. So I would love them to take another look at that and maybe let you do Shattered, maybe expand it and let you do it with a buddy.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, I agree. And it's such a beautiful map too, Shattered Worlds.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the white ones get a little dicey. I have to change filters when I run into those.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Yeah, it's so beautiful there. And, you know, it's a piece of content that really didn't get a fair shake because it was so delayed and it needed so many fixes after it came out to make it worthwhile and what it is today, that it didn't get a fair shake. I didn't give it a fair shake when it came out, so much so that I only unlocked up to like 450. That, you know, if I wasn't doing my big game hunter totem hunting, I would definitely have been there this week. So I can see your choice for a cooperative Shattered Worlds. Cool. For me, it's a simple one. You guys have heard this on the podcast before, and it is Elemental Workshop Part 5.
Which is great for all the questers out there.
I know, because it's such a small quest, yet there's a huge... Yeah.
It's not a small quest.
Yeah, it is. All of the elemental workshops have taken place in a little room.
Well, yeah, that's true, but...
That's what I mean by small.
Do you remember the slider puzzle? Like,
yeah.
It's so hard.
I know. And for me, it's not so much the puzzles behind it that make it interesting. It's the mystery about what we're going to find behind that next door. And that's what's got me going on the Elemental Workshop Part 5.
Well, I mean, yeah, I hear you. Not something I want to do, but I totally get it from a lore perspective.
Yeah. Failing that, Gnome finale. For the Gnome
Yes.
Quest.
Yes.
Tie it in
see
nicely
gnome
with
finale.
Invention, bring it into the Sixth Age kind of thing. Maybe have add some new items as a reward from invention that are quest only that the players can use and exploit, and finally tie off that storyline. So those would be my two.
And granted, would be so perfect with gnomes too,
right? Because we have that gnome tech tree, which really didn't get too much development to it. The gnomes and the dwarves with it, and you know they were thinking that they might have went down that path, but they didn't. They just went on the human track. So I'd definitely like to see that, either of those expanded.
It was, I think it was Goblin.
I thought, right. Your entire, it was Goblin and Dwarf. It was a poll that failed. That's what it was, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you have it. Unlock the gnome tech tree with the gnome finale in invention.
Yeah, because they're so tinkery, you know? Like, they're always... making machines. Like,
light
how
balls.
Did we miss that? Yeah.
So, I think that is the more substantive answer. And, you know, Elemental Workshop Part 5 could effectively be a bottle quest if they wanted it to be, I think. Whereas the gnome quest would have to be something on the epic scale like we've seen in recent quests. So, you know, you pick and choose which one you want with that. So, all right. Thank you, Sunset Fish. Next one from Kyle, Shane, and Tannis. A couple of questions for what should be a quiet week, and indeed it is. Out of the early RuneScape experience cities, do you have a favorite between Varrock, Lumbridge, and Falador?
It seems like an easy question, but it's not really, because I spent so much time in Varrock, right? I mean, just doing the diaries, you're in the Grand Exchange, and like, you're mining. You spend so much time in Varrock, but I will always have a special place for that rundown little Lumbridge backwater town because that's where I landed, and that was my first introduction to RuneScape. And I had some hard times. I mean, I had a God War battle fight. Sludge match thing there. they've been through a lot.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I gotta say Lumbridge.
Okay. Falador for me. Because it's very close to two farming patches, the tree patch, the allotment patch directly to the south. It's also the hub for smithing, the new smithing skill. And I think if any new player went into Falador and they were to start interacting with either the smithing skill or any of the other stuff around there, I think they'd have a great time doing so, specifically with the Artisan's Workshop area. So
I'd say Falador. Can't forget the Knights.
That's
right?
True. And the White Knight quest series, which did have another interesting puzzle behind it. I'm trying to think lore-wise if we even got a conclusion to that. Oh, well, someone listening to the show who's up on their lore will correct me on that.
Because that's the Void series, right?
No, Temple Knights is different than the Void series. The Void series is Pest Control Island. But there was
you do it in Valley, right?
There was a bit of a linkage between them.
Okay.
So. What's your least favorite skill, or two if this includes Dungeoneering? So mine does include Dungeoneering.
Of course.
Is yours?
Yes.
Okay.
It does.
Let's just say Dungeoneering and then let's move on and talk about what's next on this list.
Okay. So my second least favorite skill is Hunter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I used to see just how hard I could push myself with Hunter, but as for, like, a skill that I enjoy training, I've never really liked it. There was one thing that I liked in Hunter coming up, and that, don't laugh, but this was the falconry. I always thought that was cool.
Yeah.
That was
an area of Hunter that really could have been capitalized on more.
Yeah, so I guess that's mine.
Okay. I'm going to say two, believe it or not.
Oh, okay.
And they're fletching and crafting.
Because
here's why. Hunter, in my view, just got a rework. And it has, believe it or not, it has money-making methods to it. All you got to do is look at the tweets I posted last weekend on our Twitter page at RSBMB and the amount of money that the bait can bring in from Big Game Hunter. Still, a month after the fact, money is coming in from that. And the dinosaur bones. So there is a money-making method with Hunter now after the Hunter rework. So I'm going to have to respectfully disagree with you that Hunter is the worst skill in the game.
Okay.
But I say fletching and crafting because those are two skills that really could use a rework. Because you get 99 and you can't craft anything that's useful for an end game player. You can't really fletch anything that's useful for an end game player except for a couple of bolts or arrows.
And you don't ever make your own ammo. So
right. So it's really not that useful.
Right. So,
and what I'm saying is it would be nice in the fletching and crafting skills, respectively, to have the ability to make high-tiered bows like you can now make with smithing and with crafting ranged armor.
Oh, yeah, that would be wonderful. So, like, is the question, like, what do we hate training the most or just what's the worst skill?
Well, see, I didn't take it from what do I hate training the most. I took it from what could use the best update.
Okay. Well, and I went the other way with that. Okay.
If it would be what do I hate training the most? Dungeoneering.
Well, we've established that, right?
Slayer?
Really?
Yeah, I don't like combat.
Well, I mean, that's fair, but okay.
And I mean, Slayer's so useful too with the money it brings in.
So. Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
I'm already 99 in most of these skills. So unless it's a farming or a herblore or a woodcutting or an agility, which were my first four 99s, I don't really care about getting XP anymore.
Well, and I mean, that's...
Unless it's a 120 skill.
I was going to say, like, if that's how you play, then that's less legitimate. You know,
exactly.
I mean, I used to be totally fine with that. But now when I look at my stats and if I don't have a little gold border around there, I'm going, oh, I need to work on that. I need to fix that.
Yeah.
you know.
Yeah. So. And do you have a preferred type of clue scroll? Could be none for Tanis.
Unfortunately for me, it is none.
Okay.
Yeah.
For me, it's hard just because they're the quickest to do. And there's none of the... my problem with elites is that they have those scan puzzles and those just take... I don't like the running around aspect of that, of the scans.
I like the oyster. Does that count? That's as close as I get to a clue.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. That's fine. And that's why I'm doing Big Game Hunter, is because I want to rush down this path and see if I get the Hunter the Clue Scroll Totem, is the question is going to be, hey, maybe all of a sudden, Master Clue scrolls are worth doing in terms of the amount of steps that they have.
So that's I'll take your word for it once you figure that out.
Right. Because right now, hard clue scrolls are the best profit-wise because they have the chance of awarding just a general clue scroll item like a trimmed item or something to that effect, which is guaranteed to sell for 500, 550K because of the fortunate component.
Well, and they're quicker, aren't they?
Exactly.
But not the other argument.
Exactly. And finally, Kyle says, thanks for the great shows and keep it up. Thank you very much, Kyle.
Yeah, thanks, Kyle.
Next question is from Mod Porky, who says, what are your thoughts on clue scroll caskets or boss loot streams, and how could we make it more interesting? Interesting and timely question, given there was one of those streams this week.
Yeah, there was. So, this was actually kind of a hard question for me. But we talked a little bit in pre-show about drop rates, and I think that is the direction that that's something that would make it really interesting would be to maybe do a thousand opening 1,000 at a time and then seeing how close you are to what the drop rates
the expected
are.
Value is.
Yeah.
And the reason for it is because it's easier to convey on a stream of out of 1,000 compared to out of 5,000, just because it's an easier number to handle in your head.
Yeah, exactly. And I just think that's just kind of fun because then you see like it, you kind of just, you get to watch someone else either suffer or celebrate from their RNG and it's not you.
Oh, and you don't need to run around the world that many times to do it as well. But for me on this one, I agree with you on the RNG aspect of it because, there are players out there who are going to be skeptical of drop rates when they're posted, right? And doing these streams is a confirmation that the drop rates are indeed somewhat close to what they're documented as, and any variance on that, it's just going to be RNG coming into play, right? So it's good to do from that perspective. You know what I would find really interesting in terms of doing this? And, you know, I say this as a math nerd, is that, you know, you could say that, oh, if you open 300 of these, you're likely to have this amount of chance to get that. And obviously that is me. That is me talking, who would find that very interesting and entertaining. I doubt anyone else out there would find that interesting and entertaining. So feel free to ignore that. But beyond that, I think something interesting to talk about on these streams would be to have somebody like Mod Timbo on, who is in charge of balancing on this. And, you know, when you get, say, a die or something like a second age piece, you'd be able to say, okay, this is what this actual drop rate is supposed to be. We got it in opening X, or we got this on drop X if it's from an NPC. And this is why we chose it to have this drop rate. We wanted it to have this drop rate because of a certain reason, or we want it to be this rare or that rare or something to that effect. And failing that, you could also potentially talk about with this how drop rates are formed in terms of, you know, how do we come up with, for example, 1 out of 128, I think it was, for something, or 1 out of 50 for the totem pieces on Big Game Hunter. I think that would be interesting to hear is a bit about why the drop rates are and how they came to be.
That actually would be really, really interesting. The only other thing that I can add, and I understand that this kind of has to happen organically, like you can't force this or script it, but I love watching the interaction of JMods on the stream, like when it's just that banter back and forth, when they're joking around with each other. I really enjoy
that. It's kind of like a mini RSPNB update. That would be neat to see.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, and you kind of feel like you're getting to see more of them, more of the person, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, I agree. Another thing that would be fun with this is that, granted, with the amount of people in that Twitch chat, it would be hard for the JMods who are opening the boss drops or the clue scroll caskets to curate questions. But, I mean, you could just answer it into a general kind of question Q&A, providing the questions aren't too hard, so to speak. You know, make it not questions that would need somebody like Ahmaud Osborne to answer that are very high level and, you know, directional specific. But, you know, hey, kind of like these questions that we had on the show personally. And, you know, you would have to say that, you know, if we asked Mod Porky what is a piece of content you'd like to see expanded on in game, he would answer that with the caveat that, you know, this is something that me personally would like to see it. I make no guarantee of this happening, but this is blank. That would be a question that you could entertain. These kind of questions I think would be fun to entertain on these live streams while doing it, because, yeah, I think it is monotonous to open 1,000 or 5,000 caskets without having much else to say about it. So there's some, I think we got some good suggestions in there for that one. So I'm pleased with that. Anything else?
Just keep up the good work.
Indeed. The next one is from Jad Chor, which is a number of questions. So we'll just start off with number one here. Do you feel like the new Summer Skilling Bonanza event is a better event than the previous summer beach parties that ran 2015 to 2018? For me, the answer is a yes, just based on what I said earlier in the podcast at the very start. It provides way more engagement than the beach did. Granted, the beach was more summer themed and you could get summer event items out of it, but I think the new Skilling Bonanza and Summer Escape is a better way of promoting engagement. And it just encourages people, I think, to go out of their comfort zone a bit and maybe do things that they might not have thought that they needed to do if they read the actual news post or listen to this podcast.
Okay. I think for like this year, I think it is a better fit. With everything that we discussed with a living game and mobile and trying to increase, you know, get that engagement up. I think it was the right call this year. I do like the beach in past years, but it was also getting stale, and that's why they needed to do something different this year. And I mean, they really did nail it. I mean, they did really good with it.
And I think you just answered question two. Why do you think Jagex decided to change it this summer, 2019? Oh. And that's because it was getting stale.
Yeah.
So that's what it comes down to. No ifs, ands, or buts, in my opinion. It was just getting stale.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think we can move on to number three in that regard then. And do you think Jagex will bring back the summer beach party or stick with the new Summer Skilling Bonanza setup for summers to come? And this is an interesting question because it can go either way.
Yeah, I can see both. So, I like the summer skilling, but I'm also, you know, like I said, I'm also a fan of the beach. I liked how it brought people together more, like, socially, right?
Yeah.
I could see both of these things together in the future. I don't think it needs to, they're exclusive of each other. I think we could do things like what is going on with the summer skilling bonanza, or the summer bonanza, in some, like, maybe even in a beach form. I can see that happening.
That's
totally
what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking. And it doesn't even need to be in the Lumbridge Crater. And I realize what I'm about to say is a huge ask for this. But could you imagine next year a Karamja rework coming in the spring and then using that island as a summer beach with various different skilling training methods for the month of July, August?
Man, that would be so cool. And there's so much, like, that's one place that actually has some actual beaches on it. And yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be cool.
And the reason I say this is because I'm inspired by the Star Trek Online summer event. So for those of you guys who watch Star Trek The Next Generation before, we'll know there's a vacation resort planet called Risa. And the Star Trek Online summer event takes place on Risa. And it's been the same since about 2014, I believe, largely. But every year they add new rewards to it and they slightly tweak or modify the events that take place. And there's about four or five events that rotate about every 10 minutes or so. actually, no, I think it's probably around 7 to 8, thinking of it now. They rotate around every 10 minutes or so, and you use these to get tokens that you can use to buy the various rewards from this year or previous years. And I don't know how Jagex would feel about doing this, but this is kind of similar to what they do with the currency event. Provide, say, a tier 70 weapon in all three combat styles that you get for engaging in the summer beach content once a day for, you know, 2 weeks, for example. Make that a currency event for the next year's summer beach. And that would be an interesting way, I think, to bring it back, is because you could get the this tier 70, 75-ish weapon, right? One for each style. And you could do other things. You could purchase all the beach unlocks from years past and maybe some new ones with next year's. But imagine being able to use your smithing skill, your runecrafting skill, or your fletching skill to upgrade this weapon with a substantial input from the skilling side of the equation in game, from a tier 75 to, say, a tier 85 or tier 90 weapon.
Well, I think that would be beautiful. That would be beautiful. I would love to see that.
Why should people have to play the game and pay huge sums of money or wait to get a tier 85 weapon? It doesn't need to be anything special. It doesn't need to have set effects behind it. Just give a tier 85 weapon out from this that you can start off at tier 70 and upgrade it with skilling components.
I would love to see that.
And the reason I say this is because, you know, Star Trek Online has ships. The ships typically sell for $30, right? If you want to buy one, because, you know, you get ships as you level up, but they're okay. They're not, you know, the end game style. But every summer and winter, they award one of these new ships that is effectively worth $30 that you get for playing the game for 3 weeks, once a day for 5 minutes. So we could do something like this RuneScape related.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some of the best ships in that game have come from these holiday, summer, and winter events. And there just needs to be less of a fear on the side of the PVM community of doing something similar in RuneScape, providing some kind of customizable weapon or token over a beach or winter event.
Yeah, I mean, it's only I would hope that we can find some common ground there, because it's not like anybody in that community is going to be using that 85 weapon anyway. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think they could maybe give us a little bit of give on that, right?
Yeah, and you know, they could do it for winter as well, because one of my favorite things in winter was the winter, effectively the winter version of the beach that I think that they did 1 year with all the Christmassy kind of events. That was nice.
Oh, I love that. Was my favorite
in the Lumbridge area, not the one up at Damonheim, but just something in the beach that is
reindeer.
Yes,
I love that one.
Yeah. And the problem with the one at Damonheim is nobody went there because it was so far away, whereas the Lumbridge one, everyone did.
Well, and they reminded people of Dungeoneering. They're like, no. Is it single time? No? Oh, okay. Bye. I mean, I'm just saying, people jumped in a hole to avoid Dungeoneering.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Hopefully that provides some insight on this. And, you know, we really did jump in and provide a lot of detail on number three. So now Jaden's personal opinion is that the Summer Skilling Bonanza is better because it's more structured and organized. And Jagex clearly lists what skilling bonuses are offered each week of the event. This new event is not restricted to just one location, Lumbridge. You can also enjoy your skilling activities with the bonuses anywhere that you want to skill. And lastly, there's, in his words, no more useless cosmetic summer items, thank God. I know people who feel that the whole reason for the beach was the cosmetic summer items.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I respect that you're not into the cosmetics, but You know, where would we be without our dragon ring to go around our body? Or where would my ghillie suit be without my snorkel and mask? I mean, that is an essential fashionscape item for me.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. All right. Thank you for that question. We have one last one from Sirion. He says, if you're asked to design a brand new area for Gilenor, what's in it? Leaving it wide open, isn't it?
He is, but he asked such a hard question, because it's like, do we develop it for now, or do I get to be in my dream world where I could have anything I want, and you know what I mean, like, and it be like that? Because what I really want, I would have to have a few other things in place first.
All right, lay it down. What is it?
Well, I think we would need a prestige system for this to work.
Okay.
Right. But I would like to see a Priftinus 2.0, and this would be exclusively the best training methods, the highest XP per hour, and it would be where you went if you were pursuing 120 and 200 mil. That's what it would be for. So it's not for everybody.
Yeah.
I'm
glad you
put
the caveat in that you would need the prestige mode, and XP would need to become a viable end game.
Yeah, we'd have to, like I said, there'd have to be some work done to it, but yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. There, you have to do some things first. But if that were to happen, then I mean, we could just go ham, and I love that. I mean, I just think that's fun to just push yourself. Not all the time, but you know, sometimes it's,
you could have methods that require tick manipulation, and methods that are a little bit lean back.
Yeah, I mean, we're really getting to a point where high level skilling is reminiscent of PVM in a lot of ways. Like when it comes to tick manipulating and even abilities sometimes. I mean, potions, this and that, you know, I mean, it's incredible. I know people that are picking, are wearing a stethoscope and dropping a stethoscope right before the XP drop, while doing say cracking like in the wilderness with brawlers and stuff. So that's the kind of stuff I want to be able to have fun with that and not have like, and not worry about what happens in the end or this or that. I want to enjoy that. I want to enjoy pushing that and
I want to enjoy
on that side.
I want to enjoy training skills too, but I can't train farming anymore, because if I train farming in any meaningful way for a month or 2 months, I'm going to hit 200 mil.
Yeah. So that's why I said, I mean, I have to give it the caveat of we would have to make some changes, either with prestige or something in that regard. But if that was in place, then I think it would be a lot of fun. But how about you, Shane? What would you like to see in the game?
I want a wilderness that works and revitalizes PvP. Not for me, but just because I think it's a, you know, we always had the combat in RuneScape, and it was always, you know, you go kill, as back in the day as it was in RS2, Shadow Warriors or, you know, Fire Giants or something to that effect, or Metal Dragons later on. And you also had World 18 for PvP, which has completely gone by the wayside in the modern era. So I would say, yeah, let's keep the current wilderness as it is and have that as, you know, an area where people can go PvP. But also, let's make a new wilderness. Something that will effectively encourage people to PvP. Something that will bring back PvP into the game.
Like a Thunderdome.
Yeah, something like that. And I mean, you could say you could have had this with Bounty Hunter and whatnot, but let's just be honest that it wasn't successful, right?
No, and I mean, I guess you could even say that was tried with the Crucible as well.
Yeah.
But I, Yeah, I mean, I think the hardest part would to be coming up with something that would incentivize people to try PvP. Maybe you would need, I don't know, maybe you'd want, like, see how, this is hard, because I think to incentivize people, you need a safe mode, but then that disincentivizes people that are looking for money. Yeah. So, I mean, it's really hard.
And you see, the thing is that you don't necessarily need drops from PvP if the combat is engaging enough.
Yeah, well, that's...
That's a question. That's a question for the ages, true. Is how do you make... You know, you look at Solak and whatnot, right? And you look at Telos and the challenge that provides the PVMers, and you ask, how do you extend that to PvP? So people spend the amount of time they do at these bosses for the challenge. Not necessarily the GP. Removing GP as a consideration. Just the challenge and the mechanics. I think we can wrap that side up on PvP. And, you know, I realize that's a big encompassing thing to do. So something similar or simple, rather, a farming guild.
Farming guild?
Yeah.
Can we have communal farms?
Maybe. I was thinking use the old school farming guild as a blueprint.
Oh. Well, I'm not even familiar with old school farming guilds. So.
Yeah, I just did some reading on it, you know, earlier, and I mean, it looks interesting. And I mean, it's not something I'd drop everything and play old school for, but hey, I mean, why not, right?
Oh, I think if old school had NXT graphics, you would be there with bells on.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But anyways, so I think that pretty much sums up the answers to Sirion's questions, two very distinct, different areas. And hopefully, I mean, hey, the sky's the limit, as we know with RS. So, well, it's good we're talking about this week, because we're supposed to get this survey this month. So we'll see what's on the survey, if any of these are on the survey. And if they are, we'll definitely champion them. So,
for sure.
All right. If you guys want to send your own questions in, you can email them to questions@rsbnb.com, or you can, you know, leave them on Twitter. Just send us a DM or at mention to us at RSBNB there. Lots of interesting, fun little things posted throughout the week on Twitter as well. So at RSBNB on Twitter to send us questions, or email them to questions@rsbnb.com. All righty. So moving on into tech news this week. We had lots to choose from. And I'm glad I chose what I did. And we're going to start with something that most people who are involved in gaming are going to be aware of. And this is something that Discord is bringing out. It's called Go Live. They started rolling this out today on August 15th. It's a new feature that will allow you to stream games to the voice server that you're in for up to 10 people. And, you know, you'll note that this isn't a direct competitor to Twitch or Mixer, because, you know, those are designed to stream to the masses. And the idea behind this is that, hey, maybe I'm hosting a Jackbox Party Pack game and I want to, you know, share it with my friends in this voice channel, and we're doing it online rather than in the same room. So you can use it for that. Or maybe you want to just, you know, have a quick look at something that you're doing in RuneScape or something to that effect. And this is what Discord is aiming to enable with this, is, you know, effectively live streaming that's not for the masses, but just for your friends. And I don't think anyone's ever thought of this before. And it's a really interesting idea on this.
Yeah, I think, did Steam have something like that at one time? You could show someone else like what you're, regardless, this is great. If for no other reason, maybe it will help me be able to have my friends help me struggle through puzzles for now on when they come in a quest. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like I'll be clicking, no, dude, that's yellow. That's yellow. Oh, thank you. Sorry. Yeah. Thought it was green.
Yeah. Okay. And, you know, I do wonder how this is going to roll out and how it's going to be received, because, you know, granted, if you're a free Discord user, you can stream up to 720p, but if you're Nitro, Classic, you can stream to 1080, and if you are in a boosted server, you can stream all the way at source, meaning if you have 4K, you can stream at 4K. Or rather, Nitro is 4K, Nitro Classic is 1080p, which, I mean, that's substantial with this, too. So,
yeah.
You can also customize when this rolls about, anybody who has permission will be allowed to stream to the server.
Okay, cool.
So you can, you know, set up a streaming rule so that only certain people can stream if you don't want everybody to be able to do that. And, you know, I think this is something that's going to change the way we look at live streaming because, you know, every so often we see Twitch, hey, we're live streaming and, you know, you're one of those live streamers with thousands of viewers. But there's lots of live streams on Twitch who have, you know, 5 or 6 viewers, just their friends watching games. And if Discord can capitalize on that, that's somewhere that, you know, can give Twitch some competition and can be really neat for Discord servers so that, you know, hey, maybe if you want something RuneScape related, you join a RuneScape Discord and you can watch some RuneScape live streams in there with some people, right?
Well, you know, that's kind of what I was gonna jump off on was to say that I actually think this is good for RuneScape just because we don't have a huge viewer base on Twitch. Some of your bigger guys that come from YouTube that stream on Twitch, they do okay. And Old School does okay. But we have a lot of Discords. There's a Discord for everything. And, you know, some of them have hundreds of members. So I think it's going to be great for that smaller RuneScape streamer because you're going to be in an audience that is already RuneScape oriented, and it might give you a little bit of exposure. And it's the other thing it could do. It's going to help you hone your craft before you take it to
Twitch.
You know, Twitch. Yes. So I really don't see any downside, and I see lots of upside, especially for RuneScape streamers.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, many of these people want to start out small, and I mean, hey, this could be one of the draws of the RSBNB Discord that, you know, if you want to start streaming, hey, come here and find some people who will watch it and you can get feedback on it along the way with Discord Go Live.
Yeah. Well, you could even have schedules. So tonight I'm streaming on RSBNB. Tomorrow night I'm streaming on such, and you know what I mean? Like all kinds of them. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Then, I mean, you know, it could be anything. Like, you can make anything out of this you wanted.
Indeed. All right. Next one. You know, we mentioned the Meltdown Inspector vulnerabilities last week. And it just so happens this Tuesday is Patch Tuesday for Microsoft systems. And oh, boy. 93 security fixes in this week's Patch Tuesday. 29 rated critical and 64 are rated important. So, folks, if there's ever a week you want to run your Windows updates, that's this week. And here's why. There is one vulnerability that was patched this week in something called the Microsoft CTF protocol. It goes all the way back to Windows XP. Now, on the surface, no one knows what CTF stands for, but it's part of the Windows Tech Services framework, which, as you might imagine, manages the text shown inside Windows and Windows applications. So whenever an app is started up, a CTF client is started up for that app as well. And the CTF client interacts with the CTF server. The CTF server controls your operating system's language and the keyboard input. And the CTF client receives instructions from that server. And as a result of this, there has effectively been a bug that would allow any application to be taken over through this CTF client and server connection.
Well, that's a problem.
Yeah, and that's why you want to run your Windows updates this week. Something that's been in the operating system since Windows XP has been exploited internally in terms of security research to a point where it can completely compromise control of an entire system. So that's one of the ones that was patched this week. Other highlights, this month include bug fixes to the remote desktop service, which allows you to control your computer remotely. There's also been some bugs that were wormable, which of course means that if somebody decided to weaponize them, they could pass through the internet and pass themselves on to other computers on the network or on the internet. And, you know, that's something we dealt with a lot in the Windows XP era and was largely fixed by use of the Windows firewall. But when it comes down to it at the end of the day, this month is a great example of why you want to run your Windows updates. And, you know, you can go through this list of them all here, and they're all fairly obtuse in what they say. But there's some that are in terms of Microsoft Edge as well, Microsoft Graphics, so anytime a graphic is displayed on your screen. And, you know, this is just a generally good reason for everybody out there to be running your Windows updates. And I can't make that any more clear than I have. And I feel like I say this almost every other month. But this month is one that is out of the ordinary. And I just want everybody listening to this podcast, if you're sitting in front of a Windows computer, you have Windows computers around you, make sure they have received their Windows updates for this month, because these are bad vulnerabilities, and thankfully they've been fixed, but you never know what's going to happen in terms of exploits on the internet. So just make sure that your Windows updates are run and your computers are up to date.
So. Well, you've thoroughly scared the shit out of me, and even though I'm pretty sure I'm on automatic updates, I'm going to check that again, because I don't remember seeing like a updating screen this week, so... Okay.
Just all make right. sure you do it after the podcast so you don't restart the computer oh, accidentally.
Of course.
Yeah, and you know, you've underscored it there that anytime a computer can be remotely taken over by this, yeah, that's something to be concerned about. And through a framework that is in every Windows app, there's nothing app developers can do about it, so it's incumbent on Microsoft to fix. Alrighty, let's talk about a big fall from grace, if there ever was grace for this.
I was gonna say, was there ever grace, really?
Well, we're talking about Tumblr, and it was previously owned by Verizon, and they're selling it to the parent company of WordPress, Automatic Inc. And the report initially said that it was an undisclosed amount, and that's fine, but consider the fact that Yahoo bought Tumblr in 2013 for $1.1 billion. $1.1 billion in 2013. Here we are today in 2019. The company, the parent company of WordPress, Automatic, reportedly bought Tumblr for less than $3 million. Yes, $3 million with an M. Down from $1.1 billion.
Well, I think that's probably just someone collecting internet history, right?
Like, probably. And I mean, WordPress could try and, you know, turn it into something that is more of a let's just say family friendly, clean blogging platform, given the changes Tumblr made recently, and Tumblr on its own is rather messy and disgusting prior to the changes that came in. And, you know, WordPress has this huge empire of all the websites that they host on WordPress.com. They also have the WordPress open source blogging suite as well, and many enterprise customers, of course, which also includes big companies like CNN and the Wall Street Journal actually use a WordPress backend, believe it or not. So, I mean, they could definitely do something with Tumblr that they wanted to, but recall that, you know, back in 2008, 2009, Tumblr was one of those brands that started a movement online. They say they allowed for true identities to blossom, and they became home to many creative communities and fandoms, which I think you and I are both picturing in our heads right now what that was. And for anybody wondering, that is, of course, the 18-plus stuff that was there, and recently Tumblr did scale back on that and add in community controls. And, you know, there's people say that it's these community controls that brought that forward. But at the same time, I think it just proves that on the internet, if you have a website or service that hosts these kinds of, let's just say, 18-plus pieces of content and you take it away, you're going to lose your market share.
Yeah, and I just think it was a dumb – they had dumb enforcement because they relied on algorithms, and those aren't people.
No.
So they absolutely had to take care of the problem of the illegal stuff that was being posted. That's just no excuse for it. At the same time, I've heard it described this way, that the algorithm started hitting members of the LGBTQ community much harder, and that was a pretty large percentage of the customers, I guess. And it's just gone now. So maybe another warning that sometimes there's no substitute for a human.
Right? Yeah, and you know that's reflected here in the article here as well. And in response to this, Automattic Inc. CEO Matt Mullenweg told the Wall Street Journal that Tumblr will act as a complementary site to WordPress. And it's just fun when we're not going to change any of that. So what it sounds like is this could actually be really good for Tumblr because, as we talked about, there's lots of filth on there before. But if you can take something that they want to be fun and, you know, kind of keep that same essence alive with it and back it by WordPress, that might just be successful.
You know, it might be. And, you know, my experience with Tumblr was like, it was completely different because I don't know when all of the 18 plus material started coming on there, but I first learned about it from someone that wrote fan fiction and they were writing Nomad.
Right.
Fan fiction. Right. And I thought it was cool. Like,
right. And
I actually really enjoyed it.
The thing is that in my experience, so many people who use Tumblr don't know that they could accomplish the same thing, if not easier, with WordPress and have a better experience doing so. Because WordPress on the back end and on the admin side is just a much, much nicer platform than Tumblr is. So, and they're both free. And, you know, while this looks like a major downfall for the company, I think that this is the only way to save it and can probably turn into something good in the long run. So that's my take on it.
It's a downfall for whoever lost $1 billion.
Yeah.
I mean, does money mean anything, really?
No, it's all virtual in this day and age.
To these guys.
Yeah, it's all virtual in this day and age, especially amongst the tech company capitalist, venture capitalist crowd and whatnot.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, that wraps up the tech news for this week. We're going to move on to our Skill of the Month competitions. We got two of them. We do have a crafting one starting on August 21st. So if you're interested in signing up for that, just head on over to rsbnb.com/skotm. Click the August 2019 crafting button to sign up for that one. Enter your RuneScape name, your email, and any other information that you want there, including the CAPTCHA. But we also do have a farming skill of the month running right now. Currently, we got JamAndy52 in first place with 7.2 million XP gained, Jadchor in second place with 4.7 mil, and Parnassius in third with 2.5 million, and Tannis, you're in sixth with 638K. And this one ends tonight.
Yes, I could win now if I wanted to. But it's been very, very hard, and I've been agonizing over it every day on if I was going to do that or not.
I assume you're talking about the magic beans.
Well, I've got, but if I do, then that takes away from my other plans. So originally, I jumped in thinking, I was going to do that. And then the closer we got, the more reluctant I was to actually spend it, kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's like when you got $100 in your wallet and you go to like spend it, you're like, I don't know. I might need this, you know, like that kind of thing. So.
Yeah.
Plus, if I do that, then
it just opens it up to happen again.
Yes. So that's why I'm just like, yeah, maybe I'll let it go this time. Plus,
well, I have been waiting to see someone do that.
I know, but I mean, I feel like.
I mean, Jam Andy is averaging 1.2 million XP a day.
Right, but wouldn't that be hard for you if I won a farming skill of the month?
No.
Will it be hard for you if I get 120 farming in a day? Because I plan to do that.
Well, you're at 40. You started at 40 mil.
Yeah. Easy peasy.
Yeah. I don't know. It's up to you.
That's the dilemma. That's the dilemma I've been facing. Like, what do I do? I don't know.
Aye. All right. Well, let's go over some achievements then. We don't have many this week because it was, of course, you know, the fall off from Double XP weekend. So on August 14th, we had Dennis with 120 invention. On August 13th, we have Minority with 99 fletching and Izant with 99 farming. Congratulations to you both. On August 12th, we have Jammo with 99 mining. On August 11th, we have CompSci with 120 ranged. Curtis with 99 fishing, Zach Masta with 99 invention, and on August 10th we have Amberley with 120 farming, and finally on August 8th Alex Peaks with 99 constitution. Nicely done, everyone.
Nice, very good. We should have seen Amberley in the farming comp.
Yeah, huh? That would have been interesting.
120 farming. Yeah. There's a fellow traveler, Shane.
Yeah. All right. So it's pick of the week time, and you know, I've always been looking for this one service online that never really made itself apparent, and I finally found it. So what I've always been looking for is I've been wanting a whiteboarding app. I've wanted it to work on the web in Chrome. I've also wanted it to work on a tablet, on an iPad or on an iPhone. And I wanted it to be able to update in real time so that if you draw on the whiteboard on your phone, the other people watching would see it on your tablet or on their browser. But it's not just the whiteboard. I also wanted you to have the ability to insert text, like text that you could create a text box and type into it. I wanted you to be able to paste images in, screen captures and whatnot, and annotate those and mark them all up. And I finally found it. It's a free service called Explain Everything. It works on your browser, it works on your iPhone, it works on Android. And the whole idea behind this is that it's a collaborative whiteboarding app, a modern whiteboarding app that doesn't just have markers, but it has the ability to paste images, paste text, and it all updates in real time.
Oh, and that sounds amazing for research and stuff.
Exactly. Like, wow. Imagine, like, this would be the ultimate use case for it, and I don't know if anyone's ever done this. Imagine having a huge touch screen and using it in this way, but then you could have other people collaborating on their phones or tablets as well. That's what the power of this is. And the reason I wanted this is because in my mind, I structure the things I'm working on, whether for this podcast or other things, as an effective virtual bulletin board. And if I could abstract this to be something on a computer screen or on a tablet, that would be perfect for me. So I finally found it and I'm really enjoying it. It's called Explain Everything, and they have actual tutorials on there for using it for various use cases for work or for school. And they even have advanced pricing plans so that if you wanted to, you could purchase a plan and you know, for $70 a year, you would get unlimited projects, unlimited slides, you get 10 gigabytes of storage, you'd be able to record your drawings that you make. And now you're saying that's $70 a year. What do you get with the free plan? Well, for the free plan, you get up to 3 projects. So you create one project, do it, throw it away. And then you can have one that is just constantly ongoing. Then you just have one, the third one that is just a wild card if you ever need to open one up. You can use it on any voice. You get voice chat. you get web link video sharing, but you don't get recording. And, you know, when you look at this, and if you were using this day-to-day for note-taking, or if you were a teacher using this, that $70 a year is absolutely a very cheap price for what you get, when you consider that there are huge enterprise solutions like this that have been designed to work on Microsoft's large surface, large factor, form factor surface computers that cost much, much more than this. So this is something that anybody in school or anybody who just likes to lay things out should definitely take a look at. You can find it at explaineverything.com. And, you know, if I give people a code, they would be able to join that and watch. It's that simple. A web link.
That is really, really cool. I don't even know if you've thought about this, but the implications for accessibility are unreal. Unreal. If a professor could have put notes like that on a whiteboard, then my readers could have read that probably. I mean, I don't know.
Well, yeah. I mean, try, if it's text-based, they would like, right. be able to.
Yeah. But, you know, like, someone had to be paid to sit next to me and take notes because I couldn't. And it was I was the only viable thing. Then they would have to transcribe them into, you know, Word or whatever, and then send that to me.
Right. And even if you did the free plan, like, many classrooms have projectors that you could hook up a HDMI cable to an Apple TV, cast your iPad to it, and then the projection screen becomes your whiteboard. And you can give everybody else the link, and then they have it right in front of them as well. And if you want to take collaborations, yeah. You could do that as well.
That just would have been cool. It's a game changer. Everything you said was good, but boy, I've seen a whole other side of it where I'm going, whoa, could really save some money.
Yeah, it's a good one. I almost want to get a dedicated tablet for it. And with RuneScape Mobile coming.
Hey.
So, explaineverything.com. Alrighty, what have you been up to this week in RS?
Junior's still in the mines. He's still mining. But I have been in Shattered Worlds most of my game time. I got Bladed Dive for the first time. The only time, you know. But I finally got my Bladed Dive. And I'm about like 10, 13 mil off, I think, from salt in the wound. So I'm trying to pick up those abilities, and then I might look into maybe, you know, collecting some anima for sigils. I don't have any sigils. I don't know how good they are, but I do like Slayer, and there's some Slayer sigils that I might want to look into. Yeah, so I'm thinking, well, while it's good, might as well keep doing it, because I've actually enjoyed it. I haven't had it's been fun. I mean, I get hit hard sometimes. I don't last a whole long time, but it's also kind of fun because it's like I want to make it to that next tier, and I don't even know where it starts, but I want that next tier. You know, I want to unlock that next band of levels to go. But that's been it for me.
Alrighty. As for me, hunting. Big game hunter. And, you know, I've made about 6 mil this week.
Not bad.
With the bones and the meat and whatnot. So that's why I say big game hunter is the money-making method for hunter in this day and age. You know, it's tedious, but hey, it rewards. And I got one totem piece, Totem of the Abyss, so I can now teleport to Anachronia. I'm going for the treasure trail totem just for the clue scroll stuff, and then we'll see where we go. I'm about to get tier 3 sleeping quarters, and I think I did my base camp building a bit different than everybody else, because I did the main town hall building, then the storehouse, and now I'm doing the sleeping quarters, and then I'm going to go into the hunter one and the slayer one and whatnot. I want to get the maximum number of workers out there first before going into the subsequent ones. Is that the way people are doing it?
Yeah, I mean, not that there's a right and wrong, but that is the preferred method I've seen from most people.
Okay. But no, aside from that, you know, getting ready for that Player Own Farm update. So I have dragons coming out of my ears. I got my first royal dragon with 3 traits, which is important. As I mentioned, you know, that's all the farm is right now for me because I'm not interested in XP. I'm just interested in, you know, building out animals and seeing what we're going to be able to do with that when the farm changes come in. So, yeah, aside from that, you know, just big game hunter. And it's kind of – it'll be kind of nice to go back to something a little bit laid back after the big game hunter push because normally when I'm doing RS, I do something else at the same time. And you can't really do that with big game hunter because you got to concentrate.
No.
But to my shock, I got both the big game hunter achievements this week. I got the achievement for not using a movement ability and being successful, and I got the achievement for not entering the dinosaur circle, believe it or not. Oh, I don't know how cool. I did that, but I did both of those.
Wow. Yeah, nice.
Yeah. So I'm learning the ropes and progressing along with that. But aside from that, not too much else. That's it for this episode of RSB Update. Thank you, everybody, for your questions. That was a fun questions episode. We really should do these more often. But, of course, we need to have the ability to do so without having, you know, lots of RuneScape news to discuss, as it's been for the last month or so. Continually on the path. So we enjoy these question episodes. If you want to send them in, email them to questions@rsbnb.com or leave us a DM or at mention on Twitter @rsbnb. You can also subscribe to the podcast on any podcast listener out there. Head on over to update.rsbnb.com/subscribe to do that. And you can also join our friends chat, Bits Bytes, and Discord at rsbnb.com/discord. So with that being said, we'll see you guys next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. Take care.
See ya.